Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
Morning, guys. Love the movie.
Thank you. Rose is dying.
Thank you. This is my last few days.
What's up, dude?
Well, your character struggle implied, you know, it resonates with us millennials who are trying to figure out, you know, where we are in our lives, niche and value. What's your advice to us millennials that are probably going through the same thing? So it's kind of a serious question.
Ooh.
It's a serious question.
Oh, you're asking me. my advice? I don't know. I've been really lucky. I kind of found something that I really love early on, and it's cool. But I get to explore a lot of millennial issues.
On film.
Yeah, on film, and like really think about it.
Find what you like.
I guess try and find what you really, what really motivates you, and find what you love, and do your best to keep searching for that thing, and work hard when you find it. Like, also, I think a lot of times when you're a millennial, it's specifically for millennials. Every time I find myself like afraid of anything, like or scared to do something, and that's going to prevent me from doing it. Usually that's when I try and, like, do it. Because that's often the time that I find it's something that I needed to do. So if there's something that you're, like, afraid of doing in life or that could lead to something or an opportunity that you're afraid of or nervous of, go for it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. I am going to go for it. Fuck.
For all of you guys returning for Neighbors 2, can you talk a bit about working together as a team this time as opposed to being adversaries? And what was it like hugging Zach? You gotta tell us.
It was a new experience. I felt anything but as hard.
Take that in the worst way possible. Yeah. She means that.
Awesome.
We were doing the
very flattered. I thought she said hugging. Oh, rubbing.
Yeah, no, hugging. Oh. She did. It's
that's what you meant. That saying, right?
Oh, with okay.
The it was also incredibly like the actual, like they had injected the meat with baby oil.
Yeah.
So it was really disgusting.
It was a real ham with lube.
Yeah, it was also seasoned with like things you were saying.
Peppercorn.
Yeah, there was. It wasn't. They didn't just like
thyme.
We made it delicious.
Yeah.
They made it like edible. Like it was like had seasoning and stuff on it. So that mixed with the smell of baby oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty gross.
Ham juice and baby oil.
But it couldn't get off your hands. It was actually really.
Yeah, it would not come off.
Yeah.
I was like trying to get off forever. But watching Rose's face made it all worth it. It was really funny.
What was that in my face like?
You were really like into it in one take, and then one take you were like, this is weird.
Went through the gamut of emotions.
Yeah, it was very funny.
No, and it was Ike too, right?
Yeah.
That's Ike is the best. He's the one.
He really enjoyed it.
He really enjoyed it.
It
was great. I think we have a very paternal role in Teddy's life.
It was good to nurture and support him while he was lost, and to have him become a part of our family.
Yeah. That was really, I really liked that word.
Yeah.
It became very emotional.
It was nice to not be fighting with him in every scene. And to be able to, teach him about boiling water.
Movies and show what can go hilariously wrong when you're partying too much, but I like that it also has a really good message about partying safely. What do you hope college students watching this can learn about having fun and partying but doing it safely?
I mean, I think there's probably much better things to teach college kids about how to party safely than the Neighbors franchise. I would not look to us specifically for that, but if in any way it inspires someone to go seek out a much better source of how to party in a safe manner, then I hope they go do that. I mean, obviously a theme in the movie is like you know, whether or not, you know, not whether or not, just the fact that women aren't allowed to throw their own parties and sororities, and obviously that, you know, if you delve deeper into that conversation, it certainly brings up questions about, you know, whether or not they would be safer if they were able to do that. But again, that there's a lot probably smarter things written about that subject than this film.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. I've never said it.
Yeah.
Hi. So you've kind of done the impossible when it comes to sequels. It's actually funnier.
Thank you.
Especially speaking for myself, because it does deal with sororities. There's a lot of feminist power. So when you were making the film, did you feel like you were making something funnier, or what were your feelings on when you were either reading the script or making the film?
You never really tell. I don't
know. We were praying to God it just wasn't, like, going to be embarrassing. That's our goal with every film, essentially. Anything better than humiliating is fantastic for us.
Success.
That's a success. We really... yeah, I mean, none of us... None of us had made a sequel. None of the people writing the movie. And so we really just tried to put a ton of thought into how not to make it terrible and how to make it feel like we were... It justified its own existence, idea-wise, essentially, and really tried to make sure it had an idea that was strong enough that even if there was no first movie, we would be excited about this as an idea for a movie. And we really liked the characters, and that was the thing that I think we talked the most about, is just, like, where would these characters go next in their lives? And once we found that that was, like, a good guiding principle and a good... Then it made everything a lot easier. But as we were making it, it seemed funny and it was fun. But yeah, I mean, you never know. I've made a lot of things that seem really funny and they're not.
We start with the script, you know, and then it
go
evolves.
From there.
Yeah,
we really give people a lot of leeway. Again, I mean, there's some jokes that are in the script that we all end up really falling in love with, and so we want to hit those, you know. And
they're, like, embedded.
Yeah, and sometimes there's just certain things that, like, need to occur in order for the movie to progress, you know. But I think with the sorority girls especially, like, you know, we don't know how 18-year-old women speak to one another by any means, especially, like, the five dudes who wrote the movie, basically. I mean, we had female writers on set, and we gave the movie to a lot of female writers throughout the process of the writing of the movie, but still, just in, like, a moment-to-moment basis, new ideas come up, and we... would be crazy to go up to, like, Chloe and Kiersey and Beanie and be like, here's how to say this. We'd be like, here's the idea we like. How would you guys say this to one another, basically? And it's really, like, I remember what we did with Super... It's what they did on Freaks and Geeks. It was really, like... Even then, I remember the writers were like, we're not your age, so, like, how would you say this at this age? And so
it's the worst being even slightly older than anyone trying to... to speak in vernacular.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, yeah.
Such a specific thing.
And then there's tons of amazing comedians in the movie with small roles, and it's crazy to have them on set and not to tell them, like, try to come up with funnier stuff than what we've written. Like, when you just have people like, you know, Billy Eichner and, you know, Sam Richardson and Abby Jacobson around, you're just like, say whatever you want, really. I mean, you're all very funny, competent comedy people.
Yes.
He was in terrible shape before the film. He got in shape just for the movie, which was really nice.
It was like
to
Castaway.
Yeah, exactly.
Teddy shape is like just, I mean, hotel gym stuff. So. We had a nice gym where I was staying, so
yeah,
I would train like when I had one at a time. I had several days off on this movie, as opposed to the first movie, which was nice. Yeah. The girls shot a lot.
There's more characters.
There are more characters, yeah. So I had time off. So, yeah, I ate a lot of protein and lifted a lot of heavy weights. And
that's how you do it, huh?
Yeah.
You lift the heavy weights.
Do I like myself better? I don't know. I think I like myself just about the same. Yeah.
A weird question.
Yeah. I can move heavier things.
Yeah, exactly. You need someone to help you move.
He comes in handy. Yeah.
Going back to the comedy in this film, one thing that I think that you really nailed on this is you still kept a gallows style of comedy, but you kind of brought in the more political messages of the day. You brought the humor up a little bit. How did you keep the balance with that? And the second part of this question is, before this is the end, James Franco happened to paint portraits of you
yes.
in the bathroom at yeah. Loaded on Hollywood and Cahuenga, but the venue's closing. Are you sad to see those go?
Yes, I am. A. I'm sad to see any of Franco's art go. In any capacity. B, I don't know, with the humor, I mean, the movie just starts to develop this theme of kind of like, I mean, at times it's literally a joke, but this kind of theme of like social consciousness kind of became one of the themes throughout the movie, and so I think once that happened, it kind of made us, our brains start going in different directions when it came to, you know, commenting on things like gay marriage and, you know, Gerard and Hannibal are black cops in the movie, so that obviously creates some opportunities for humor. I mean, I think it just kind of started to organically funnel in that direction once, like, the theme of kind of social justice became one of the jokes in the movie, basically. The airbag thing, people ask that a lot. It's so funny, because it's literally, like, the simplest camera trick. It's, like, something they've been doing since, like, Buster Keaton times. It's, like, it's almost entirely in camera. It's, like, you just sit down, or you stand on a thing, and then we go freeze, and then everyone freezes, and you move, and we put a dummy there that's in the same position. We blast it up in the air with an airbag, and then it lands, and we go freeze, and we look at the position that it landed in, and it's kind of like that. And then the actor pretty much, like, goes in that position and, like, flops their body into that position. And, like, and that's pretty much it. It's, like, so lo-fi. It's unbelievable. It literally probably costs, like, a few $1,000 in visual effects to make those shots piece stitched together. Like, they're incredibly simple to do. They're literally, it's like a camera trick that's been being done for like 100 years.
The dancing scene with Dave Franco at the beginning was way harder.
That was way harder. Yeah. That, for example, that took hours. Yeah. The airbag stunts take no time.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Put it together. Dave really practiced.
Exactly.
Oh, did he?
You're throwing beers at each other. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He, like, we threw like real
Yeah, you
beers.
Threw real beers. Gosh, you can't sit on the back. That was more complicated. That was much more
really, really easy. So when it was over, I was like, "Oh,
yeah, exactly. That was it. That's what it takes to be airbagged."
But the dummy did it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's all the dummy.
What's that? It takes so long to leave the house, like it did in Neighbors 1. It takes 1 hour and 45 minutes to leave the house. And by the time you're ready, you're just exhausted. You're like, let's just stay in.
You don't want to go.
I don't want to go. Everyone's tired. It's like, it's very true. It is there's a lot of things in the movie that are now resonate with me in a lot more profound way, having had a kid since then. But I think it's, you know, it's the next level, it's the next stage. They're definitely in a new state. I mean, the kids are getting older and they're having another kid, Mac and Kelly, but that was another one of the themes we wanted to, like, bring into the film of,
yeah,
of where are they at now in terms of their growth as parents. Like, in the first one, they still aren't really parents and they're adjusting and they still want to have their old lifestyle. And in this one, it's like, are we actually good at this? And,
yeah,
you know, we want to move. I mean, it's like, it was, it'll be interesting to see as it goes on in my own life how it evolves.
First of all, congratulations again. That seems to be a sentiment here.
Thank you.
I'm curious because the first movie was so pitch perfect in so many ways, at least I thought. So at what point during that process did you think maybe you could do it again? There could be a second one. And where did it take shape? At what point did that kind of come in?
It wasn't until it came out and was well received and, you know, did pretty well that it even, you know, became something we were considering. You good?
Yeah.
It was cold. Yeah. But, and then, I mean, the story kind of came in last. First we were thinking really of, like, what is, like, where would the characters go next? Like, Zach would probably be a guy who graduated college and had no skills, and he'd probably be pretty depressed about it. And so that gave us a good idea of where his story could go. And, you know, we didn't really want to get into, like, us wanting to party anymore. That seemed like it had been passed, but then it seemed like, you know, maybe you'd have another kid, and then you'd enter the next phase of parenting and start to wonder if you were a bad parent and if your kids would relate to you one day and if you'd be able to talk to them one day and all those fears, you know. And that's really what gave us the idea about the sorority, is like, okay, we have a daughter and we're about to have another daughter. They seemed like a good, like, personification of basically what your worst fears of your daughter might be as far as not being able to communicate with them and them just not liking you, you know. And then we heard that sororities weren't allowed to throw parties, and because an intern in our office, Michelle, was in a sorority, and we were talking about, oh yeah, and then the sorority move in and they'll throw these parties, and she's like, oh, they're actually not allowed to do that. And then we were like, oh, that's fucked up. And then that is kind of where that whole idea came from for the girls. And then we started to think, oh, like, that's also a really interesting phase in your development, is like when you first get to college and it's the first time you get to kind of choose what you like and what you don't like and who your friends are and what you stand for. And and that just became an idea we wanted to explore also.
All right, thanks everyone.
Thank you very much, guys.